Fantasy novels can be great at transporting readers to new and magical lands, but historically, they've been less than great at reflecting diversity in the real world. In recent years, something known as Asian fantasy has grown in popularity. But in this encore presentation, reporter Kalyani Saxena wonders if that's really the best term for this subgenre.
When author Cindy Pond released her debut novel, Silver Phoenix, in 2009, the term Asian fantasy was barely a twinkle in the publishing industry's eye. Pond says the Chinese-inspired Silver Phoenix was the first young adult Asian fantasy novel. But being a trailblazer did her no favors.
The fact that it was Asian fantasy, I think, made publishers feel like it was niche. You know, like it's only targeted to a certain audience. In retrospect, I do think that it kind of got lost in a very big way.
Debuting during the Great Recession was hard for most authors. But according to Pond, publishers blame Silver Phoenix's lackluster reception on its Asianness. And while the label Asian fantasy has become a popular marketing tool in the decades since, authors are still grappling with whether that's actually a helpful niche. For Rebecca Kwong, author of the Poppy War trilogy, the term Asian is reductive.
Obviously, like there are a lot of different things that fall under the subcategory of Asian, including East Asian, including South Asian, Southeast Asian, right? Like Pacific Islander. So when we call works just blanket Asian, that elides an entire world of difference.
Fonda Lee, author of the Green Bone Saga, says the term Asian fantasy makes about as much sense as the term Asian food.
It's useful insofar as it delineates a broad category of things that you could define as being different from the Western normative, but also isn't particularly helpful because it doesn't tell you anything about whether you're eating sushi or samosas.
But some authors do embrace the term Asian fantasy.
While I do agree that it erases a lot of nuance, the important thing to me is just that readers are able to find these stories.
That's Roshni Chokshi, the author of The Star-Touched Queen, a duology inspired by Hindu mythology. She says that allowing books to be grouped under the Asian fantasy umbrella might give them better placement in bookstores and give readers a better chance at finding diverse fantasy. But even those authors who think the term Asian fantasy is helpful say they'd eventually like to see the publishing industry market Asian authors differently. So what does that look like? Well, for some, that means breaking down the Asian fantasy category into more specific and accurate labeling. For others, like Tasha Suri, author of Empire of Sand, it means seeing fantasy novels marketed based on content rather than culture.
I often think it's more meaningful for me to tell people that my fantasy writing focuses on women and has a large level of romance and yearning, because that will make it reach the correct audience than it is for me to say that it's Indian fantasy.
As for Cindy Pond, who's been with the genre from the very beginning.
I'd like to see a future where, you know, white librarians in Iowa won't be like, well, I have the one, you know, Asian kid and I can't be acquiring these books. And that's the best way to learn and be empathetic, you know, and learn about other people and other cultures. So why wouldn't you acquire broadly for, you know, from every population? So that is what I hope for.
For NPR News, I'm Kalyani Saxena in Boston.